This morning, please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter number 14 and verse number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 14 and verse number 1. We're going to look today at several different passages where Jesus told us something about himself. There are several things that our Lord has told us about himself in the New Testament. Of course, there are things in the Old Testament as well. Each one of these that we're going to look at has to do with a New Testament passage. But we're going to start out this morning with John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. And I hope as we go along, each one of us will have our hearts encouraged. I'll say this at the beginning. I know you've heard me say it before many times, but we serve a great God. And he loves you, and he loves me very, very much. And he's a wonderful Savior. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. And we'll stop reading right there. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I know these people do as well. And I would ask that you'll help me today as I speak. Please give me wisdom to know what to say, and even wisdom to know what not to say. Guide and direct my words and my thoughts, and please put on my lips the very words that you want your folks to hear today. Bless our study of your word today and the message as it goes forth. May your will be accomplished in each of our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to know that our Savior is a wonderful Savior. And there are many wonderful things, of course, that he has done for me. Many wonderful things that he has done for you. Many things that he has told us in his word about himself. There are many different things in the Bible that are recorded for us that give us a good example from him. There's just so much that we can learn about our Savior just by reading and studying God's Word. I know I've told you before, and I don't mind telling you again this morning, that the very best example for each and every one of you to follow is not the pastor or some Christian that you know, but the very best example and pattern for you to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him. Follow him. Look at who he is in his Word, and look at what he said about himself, and look at what he said about different situations, and follow his example and follow his instruction and follow the things that he has told us, because that's the very best way that you will be able to please the Lord and be honored by the Lord and blessed by the Lord. Along the way, of course, there are going to be people that don't do that. Don't let that discourage you. Keep your eyes on Jesus and follow him and follow his instruction and his example, and Sometimes, I mean, God forbid that this should happen ever here. And this is one of the reasons why a couple of weeks ago I mentioned how important it is for you to keep praying for me. But here's what I wanted to say leading up to that statement there is, and again, God forbid that this would ever happen, but even if one day I would fall and disappoint you and lead you in the wrong direction, don't let that stop you from following Jesus. You know, somebody said this recently, and I've seen it before as well, that if you stop following Jesus because of people, then your eyes were on the wrong place. And that's really a good statement to remember. People will disappoint you. There's no doubt about that. Sometimes there are people close to us. Sometimes there are people we don't know. Sometimes there are people we look up to, and sometimes they're not. But always know this, Jesus will never disappoint you. And his pattern and his example and his testimony and his reputation and, of course, his advice is always the right one to follow. So as we go through this message, and we probably won't finish it all today, we'll probably have to finish it up next Sunday, we're going to see some things that Jesus said about himself, and hopefully from these things we'll learn some more about him. But also, as I go through this, because he is our pattern, I hope that you'll gain from this also. These are things that we should maybe try to follow ourselves because, again, he's our pattern. He's our example. Well, enough introduction. Let me get to the very first one. And these are not in any way in order of importance. But here's one that I'm sure you'll remember. Jesus told us in his word, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. You know, Jesus said, for instance, here in John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In another passage, of course, he stated very, very clearly that he was the light of the world. And he went on to say that he wants us also to share and show off that light to the world around us. In John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Think about that statement. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here's another verse, Titus 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, if Jesus is the light of the world, and that light has appeared to all men, and the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, wouldn't that seem to suggest then that everybody's without an excuse? Because somehow the Lord is responsible to give that light of the grace of God and the gospel of salvation and so forth to each and every individual who's born on the earth. I do know this, everybody has at least two things. This is common to all people, no matter where they live. We all have a conscience, and we all have God's creation to remind us that there's a creator, and one day we're going to have to answer to him. Everybody has those two things for sure. So Jesus said that he was the light of the world, and as the light of the world, he gives some of that light to each and every man that comes into this world. Now, I think the Bible also shows us this too. You're only responsible for the amount of light that you've been given. I know this about America. America's been given a lot of light. Spiritually speaking, America's been given a lot of light. In this country in which we are living, we have thousands of churches. We have gospel preaching all around us. I mean, I realize there's not near as many of these now as there once was, but for many, many, many years, most cities of any size had a Christian bookstore. Just think about that. There's Christian teaching today, of course, on radio and television. There's Christian literature all around. The internet is also full with Christian teaching and preaching and gospel music, and we have evangelists that travel all around. We have missionaries. We have Bible preaching churches. We have Christians who are trying to witness and be a testimony. We have gospel tracts. We're trying to collect money to help build a bigger print shop for Bearing Precious Seed. You get the picture. There's lots of light here in America. America really has no excuse. And by the way, the Bible also says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So there's a pretty serious judgment coming for America, isn't there? Because we've been given so much. But even those who live in countries that don't have all the light, spiritual light that we have, they are still responsible for the amount of light that they've been given, even if it's just conscience and creation. Everyone is responsible for the amount of light that you've been given. And if you've been given some light, and I believe God teaches us this in His Word, if you'll respond to that light, God will bring more light to you, and you'll have the opportunity to respond again to that. So Jesus said about Himself that He was the light of the world. And as the light of the world, He lights every man that comes into the world. And as the light of the world, now listen to this thought, as the light of the world, He is not understood by the darkness. You might ask right away, well, Pastor, what do you mean by the darkness? That's a reference to those who don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they just walk through this life, and they're just doing whatever comes natural, and they're just doing whatever pleases themselves, and they're basically, you know, whatever makes me happy, that's what I'm going to do, and they're walking in darkness. They don't know the way of the light yet. They're walking in darkness, and so because of that, they don't understand the light. I guarantee you this, there's a whole lot of folks in Stoughton who don't understand why we're meeting here this morning. And then why would you meet Sunday night? And this is really ridiculous, but why would you meet again on Wednesday night? You know, to the average unsaved person, it's like, why would you do that? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You poor people, I mean, I don't know. Something must really be wrong with you. Well, something is actually right with us. Amen. And that is that we've entered into the light. We've come out of the darkness. We've entered into the light. And we're trying our best to walk in the light. And because we're trying to walk in the light, we want to gather in more light. We want to learn more about Him. And we want to study Him. And we want to try to please Him. And we want to obey Him. And so, as the light of the world, He's not understood by the darkness. Listen to John 1, verse 5. John 1, verse 5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." What a verse. "And the darkness comprehended it not." There's another verse that's similar at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. "But the natural man," that's the man who's not been saved yet, they're not in the light, they're still walking in the darkness, "but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Notice, they are foolishness unto him. Notice, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Do you remember, hopefully this is before you got saved, but it might have been shortly after you got saved, but anyway, do you remember the very first time that you heard about tithing? I remember the very first time I heard about tithing, and I heard my pastor, and I think it was after I got saved. I'm a new Christian, and I heard my pastor at the time tell us that, you know, 10% of all your increase belongs to the Lord. What did he say? 10% of all of my increase belongs to the Lord? And my thought then went this way, how am I supposed to make it? I mean, here I am with 100% and I can't quite, you know, make the ends meet. How am I supposed to make it with 90%? And then later on, of course, as I kept going to church and so forth, I learned that that was just the beginning. Then he started talking about giving to missions and, you know, other special projects that come up and things like that, like around here, you know, the Project Blessing offerings. And wow, they were right when they said all those Baptist churches want is your money. Now, that's not really true. That's not really what Baptist churches want. I can tell you what Baptist churches want. It's the same thing that the Lord wants. The Lord wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, he also has your wallet and your checkbook, your bank account, your charge cards. You know, he has all that. He has all that because he's your Lord. He's your master. And if he puts a finger on something and says, would you help me out with this part right here? You're willing to do that because, again, he's your master and he's your Lord. Now, the darkness doesn't understand that. See? In fact, maybe I shouldn't say this, but there could be some here who are walking in the light who still don't quite understand that. But as you grow in the Lord and as you grow in the light, you start to understand that God owns it all. He really does own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold and silver in every mine. He really does. In fact, he owns you and me from top to bottom. And so when he puts his finger on something and says, could you help me out with this right here? Would you be willing to let go of that and let me have that? You're willing to do that because, again, he's your Lord and he's your master and you're walking in the light that he has given you and you understand what he's talking about. Now, the darkness, of course, they don't understand these things, like going to church so often, like reading your Bible every day, like singing those old-fashioned hymns. The darkness just doesn't understand that. So as the light of the world, he lights every man that comes into the world. As the light of the world, he is not understood by the darkness. And as the light of the world, oh, please don't miss this. As the light of the world, he frees men from the darkness. He frees men from the darkness. Now, I'm trying not to be, you know, too critical of those in the darkness because I was there at one time. I was walking in the darkness just like everyone else. I remember days when I would try to read God's word and it made absolutely no sense to me. It was just a bunch of gibberish. I remember when I was confirmed as a Lutheran young man, I was confirmed and I was given one of the, at that time it was the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It was the popular new version at the time. And I was given the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And I don't have it, but I'm pretty sure my mom had it. She's in heaven now, but I was standing in my cute little white gown, and I had this Bible. And it was about the size of this Bible right here, too. But I had it just about like this. And a picture was taken of me in my white gown in that Revised Standard Version of the Bible. And I remember trying to read that, what at that time was the most popular new version at the time. Couldn't make heads or tails out of it. Didn't understand it. You know why? I was still in the darkness. Then I got saved. And when I got saved, I was encouraged by my father to get a King James Version of the Bible, which I did because, again, he's my father. I'm trying to obey and do what my dad told me. And lo and behold, I could understand what it said. Are you kidding me, Pastor? A King James Version of the Bible and you could actually understand what it said? Yes, that's true. You know why? Because now I was in the light. Now I had the author living inside. Now I had help from within to understand God's word. Pastor, do you understand everything that's in that Bible that you hold in your hand? No, I do not. There are things that I do not understand that I will look at all the commentaries I have, and they don't understand it either. And then I just say, well, I guess God didn't want us to understand that right now. Maybe I'll understand it later. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll have to wait till I get to heaven. But I do know this. He does want me to act upon what I do understand. Lester Roloff, some of you remember that name. Lester Roloff one time said this, I don't think it's the parts you don't understand that bother you. I think it's the part you do understand that bothers you. I think Lester Roloff was right. How about we concentrate on the things we do understand? I don't know about you. That'll take me the rest of my life to try to master. Just the parts I do understand. I'll leave the rest till later. In some ways, I'm kind of glad I don't understand everything. Because I got enough time, hard enough time, following what I do understand. Anyway, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as the light of the world, he frees men from the darkness. John 8, verse 12 says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Have you noticed that since you came into the light, you don't have the same desires that you had before? The places you used to want to go, you don't want to go anymore. The music you want to listen to before, you don't want to listen to that anymore. The things you used to want to watch, you don't want to watch those anymore. The people that you used to want to have as your friends, you don't necessarily want to have them as your friends anymore. I mean, your whole outlook on life just changed because you came into the light. It changes your outlook on life. Because the Lord has freed us from the darkness. Keep in mind now, the whole world, the Bible says, lies in darkness. But when a man or a woman, boy or a girl, comes to know Jesus as their Savior, they are freed from that darkness. And now, just like the little chorus that the children sing, "The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore." Sarah's glad for this. "The girls I used to date, I don't date them anymore." Fact is, I only date Sarah, by the way. I want you to know that. Amen, Sarah?
Amen.
Promised her a date for this week coming up, and I got to make sure I do that. She had a birthday, you know, recently. 29 again. 29 again. Amen? But the places we used to go and the people we used to spend our time with and the music we used to sing and listen to and all those things that used to give us a lot of pleasure, that doesn't give us that pleasure anymore because we're not in the darkness. We're in the light. And now we have a whole new set of values that we follow because we've been brought into the light. So we're learning about our Savior here, first of all, that he said, "I am the light of the world." Now, I don't want to spend too long with this next thought, but because I got to get to our next point. But if Jesus is the light of the world and he's brought us into the light, and then he told us that he wants us to share that light with others, how are we doing on that? Don't hide it. Okay? It's not, you remember this in the Gospels? It's not meant to be a candle hidden under a bushel basket. But rather, it's to be put on a candlestick where everyone can see it, and it gives light to everyone in the room. So let your light so shine before men, the Bible says, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He is the light of the world. And if he is in us, we're supposed to let that light shine. Number one, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Number two, second thought this morning. I can see we're not going to get through all this today. I can see. Number two, Jesus said also this, "I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." In fact, in our text where we started in John 14, verse 6, again it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Did you notice Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We're living in a time period right now where some people believe that you have your truth, I have my truth, this person over here has their own truth. I don't know what you think about all that stuff, but that's a bunch of gobbledygook. It's either truth or it's not. Period. And Jesus said that he is the truth. He is the truth. "I tell you the truth," he says in another place. So John 14, 6, again, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The world that we live in is full of lies. The world that we live in is full of lies. We're living in a time period right now leading up to the election when, and I told Sarah this just the other day, we were watching something on television, and there's two commercials that came on for political reasons. One came on and told me how good this particular candidate was. The very next one came in and told me how bad that first candidate was. And I said to Sarah, I said, "Which one am I supposed to believe?" Now, you might agree with me and you might not. But you know what? In those two commercials, someone was lying. In fact is, I'm going to go way out on a limb and say this. In those two commercials, there's a good chance that both of them were lying. Pastor, why would you say that? Because so many politicians tell you what they want you to hear, and then when they get into office, they do what they want to do. That's just one example. But the world today is full of lies. There are lies all around us, from politicians, sadly, sometimes even from the pulpit. Sometimes even from the pulpit. Sometimes people, as they talk with one another, there are lies told in the courtroom. There are lies told in the halls of Congress. There are lies told all around us. The world is full of lies. And that all should change. It's supposed to change anyway for you and me once we know Jesus as our personal Savior. Why? Because He said about Himself that He is the truth and that He told us and tells us the truth. Let me show you another passage. Look at John chapter 8. Would you do that with me, please? John chapter 8. You should be in the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. We're going to find out where the truth and where the lies come from. John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44. Think about this. Jesus is saying these words to religious leaders. He said this, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil. I bet that made them happy, huh? And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Wow. Those are hard words, aren't they? And spoken to religious leaders of that time. The reason I read that passage is because I want you to know that there are some folks who don't want to hear the truth. One of the reasons why some people will not come into a Bible preaching church is simply that they don't really want to hear the truth. The devil is the one who is behind the lies, and the devil is the one who doesn't want them to hear the truth. And so he gives them excuse after excuse after excuse why they shouldn't be there. And therefore, they don't have to face up to the truth. By the way, the truth won't hurt you. Jesus said this, the truth will set you free. Don't you want to be free? I mean, I do. The devil doesn't want you to be free. So the choice is up to the individual. Some will choose not to hear the truth. Some will choose, even after they've heard it, not to believe it. But those who choose to believe the truth will be set free. When a person chooses to believe the truth, they are set free. The bondage is gone because the truth has set them free. A new life has begun. A new freedom and liberty has begun. And that all takes the place of all the world of lies that we originally found ourselves in. Do you realize that if a person dies in darkness, they go to that place called hell? If a person dies believing those lies that the devil tells them, that person goes to that place called hell. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through the truth. In our text that we started with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven. You don't have to give a bunch of money in the offering plate. You don't have to wear a suit and a tie. I mean, there's a lot of things that people think are so important. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to dress nice when we go to church, and he wants us to go to a Bible-believing church, and you know, he wants us to do certain things, but those things don't get you to heaven. What gets a person to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you have that, you have, in this sense, your ticket to heaven. It's already been provided for you. Jesus is the light of the world. He said so. He is also the truth. And he told us, I tell you the truth. There's a third thing that he said about himself that I want to get to this morning. And you're going to find that in John chapter 12 and verse 47. Would you find that with me, please? John chapter 12 and verse 47. John chapter 12, verse 47. The Bible says this. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees Chapter 12, verse 47. There it is. And if any man hear my words, this is John 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So here's another thing Jesus said. First of all, he said, I am the light of the world. Secondly, he said, I tell you the truth. Thirdly, he said, I judge no man. I judge no man. What Jesus said here is that he did not come to the earth the first time. He did not come to be man's judge. You see it here in these verses. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You know why Jesus came the first time? Not to condemn us, but to save us. You know the verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, he came not into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to give us the opportunity to know Jesus as our personal Savior. God is the judge. God is the one who's going to judge people. And did you notice here in verse 48, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day? The word of God, this Bible right here, the word of God is our judge. The word of God. Hang on now. Not you or me. Not you or me. Pastor, why would you mention that? Because a lot of times people are really, really, really quick to judge one another. Remember this passage? He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Or how about this one? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Who among us is really qualified to judge anyone? We're really not, are we? Oh, but the Lord is. And of course the Bible is. But not us. Not us. In fact, Jesus himself even said, it's the word of God and the words plural of God, that are going to judge us. Jesus said he came to save the world. I quoted this a little while ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came so that men and women, boys and girls, would have an opportunity to be saved and to know him and to spend eternity with him in heaven. Anyone who rejects Jesus, anyone who rejects Jesus is going to be judged by the word of God in the last day. That's John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I believe this. The word of God is the final say on everything. The word of God is the final say, or the final word, on everything and everyone. It's not up to me and it's not up to you. Let me see if I can get one more thought in, okay? Things Jesus said about himself. Number one, I am the light of the world. Number two, I tell you the truth. Number three, I judge no man. You'll be familiar with this one, I'm pretty sure. I'll try to go through it quickly and then we'll review it next week when we start out. Here's another thing he said. Number four, I am not of this world. I am not of this world. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ carefully, you find out that he did not originate in this world like we did. John 17, 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Amen. You know, that's suggesting to us that Jesus was already here long before the world was. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He, Jesus, he is not a created human being like we are. He is God. He's a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was sent by God the Father to this earth to be our Savior. John 17, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. When he says these, he's referring to his disciples. But these have known that thou, that's the Father, hath sent me. God the Father sent the Son to live among us and to be our Savior. Jesus did not live while he was here on this earth. Jesus did not live like the rest of us live. Now I realize he was human. But the Bible says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. None of us can say that. We get tempted. Sadly, we sin. Jesus was tempted, but he sinned not. He was perfect. In John chapter 8, verse 23, it says, he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Again, I am not of this world. He lived a perfect and sinless life while he lived on this earth. And the Bible says he came to be our Savior so that he could spend eternity with us in heaven. John 17, 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Notice that Jesus wants us to be with him in heaven forever. He wants all of us to be with him in heaven one day. Now, I have to wrap this up because of time, but the choice by God the Father to send his Son, that choice has already been made. God the Father did his part. He sent his Son. The choice of the Lord Jesus Christ to allow himself to be nailed to a cross, to suffer and bleed and die there, was already made and done. That's already been accomplished. The choice of the Holy Spirit to bring the wonderful news of the gospel and the saving grace of God to your heart and mine, that choice has also already been made and done. But there's a choice that has to be made by people, and that is to believe that or not. Many years ago, I made the choice to say yes. I've never regretted that choice. Most all of you in this room, I believe, have made that choice to say yes also. Father, I believe that. I take Jesus as my Savior. I believe that what he did for me on the cross was enough for my salvation. I trust you as my Savior. Many of you in this room, you've done that. But there could be someone hearing my voice either this morning in this room or sometime in the future by way of a recording of this sermon. And you've not done that yet. Why not do that today? Why not believe that today? Why not just receive that simple gift of salvation? Make it yours. The choice is yours to make. I can't make it for you, and no one else can make it for you either. We're going to continue this message next Sunday. Things that Jesus said of himself. Number one, I am the light of the world. Number two, I tell you the truth. Number three, I judge no man. Number four, I am not of this world. Next week, we'll pick it up there. I'll do a little review. We'll keep on moving through this outline. There's so many things our Lord has told us about himself. Things that he wants us to know about him. And I haven't done a very good job of this, except on the first point. Reminding us how those things should also be true of us. Like showing the light to the rest of the world. Or telling the truth. Or not living like the rest of the world. I'll try to do better on that next week. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And no one's looking. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning. But just where you are, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I sure hope you love the Lord Jesus Christ. I sure hope you know him as your Lord and Savior. And I want you to know that with all my heart, I want you to know him and love him and live for him. And if you need help with that, I would ask you to come see me after the service is done. And I'd be happy to pray with you and get that settled this morning. Father, thank you for this time that we've spent together learning a little bit more about our Savior. Most all of us, no doubt, as we've read through the Word of God, we've read these things, we've heard these things perhaps in other sermons, but it's always good to be reminded who our Savior is and how wonderful he is. Lord, help us to practice some of this in our life as well, to tell the truth, to not live like the rest of the world, to shine the light and let others see it. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us with that. Bless each and every person who's here, and bless this message to our hearts and lives. May we live by what the Bible teaches, and may we always be pleasing in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.